There's a better place to get your podcast. GCNlive.com. Hundreds of thousands of hours. Archived for your listening pleasure. All free at GCNlive.com.
If someone makes this decision that the best place for them to serve their country, the best place for them to achieve, in my case, an agenda to restore the American dream, if I make the decision that the best place for me to do that is the presidency, then I'm going to run for president. I haven't made that decision yet. If he decides to run, he's going to be a very credible and a very significant candidate in this race. I have tremendous respect for him.
That was Senator Marco Rubio talking about Jeb Bush. A lot of people want to hear hail to the chief. How are you doing out there in those nooks and crannies? Kate Delaney, America Tonight. We already are speculating. We always speculate on this show as we look in our crystal ball and try to determine what we think will happen. As soon as the clock ticks to 12:01 on New Year's Day, even more of our chatter will surround what's coming up in 2016, because 2015 is when you start to see people throw their name in the ring. Jeb Bush has done that. He's doing those papers and looking and checking to see if he really has a shot at this. They say it's going to be one of the toughest U.S. presidential races and maybe the most expensive. There are 386 days to go to Election Day, but the campaign has already unfolded. We know the conversation of Hillary Clinton, Jeb Bush, Clinton and Bush going up against each other if they were to both get their nominations. They actually pinpoint it at $1 billion. I thought I would start with a very big number. In fact, campaign finance experts say anyone considering a run is going to have to raise at least $100 million just to be seen as a credible candidate. But to win, it's probably going to top $1 billion. That's $1.5 million for every day between now and November 8th, 2016. Wow. Kissing babies, shaking hands, going to a lot of dinners. The Clintons are great at fundraising. The Bushes are great at fundraising. They know how to do this. But I think it's a done deal with Hillary Clinton, but I don't think it's a done deal when it comes to Jeb Bush, because there are some others besides the former Florida governor who will be out there and will be pushing for the nomination, like Rand Paul. Senator Paul is going to be one of them without a doubt. And then it becomes who's attractive. What are their stances on immigration, education? What are their stances economically? All of that. I mean, think about Chris Christie. He desperately wants it. Think about Ted Cruz. He wants it. Rand Paul wants it. Scott Walker would be there. Rubio himself is somebody who has expressed an interest. Rick Perry, the former governor of Texas, another governor, interested, former governor, interested in testing the waters of a presidential run. We've talked about it a lot this year as part of our re-rack for 2014. Politics, politics, and more politics. We looked at all kinds of politicians and talked to them, too. And I can guarantee you, as we boot it into another year, the conversation will ratchet up even more because of what's at stake in the presidential elections. And we're taking the show to Washington for the Supreme Court argument, the latest one on Obamacare, probably the end of February. For a couple days, we'll be broadcasting in Washington, D.C., just a stone's throw away from the Supreme Court. Sadly, we are overwhelmed, I think, once again, with this story of two cops who were simply sitting in their car and they were slaughtered. They were slaughtered by a man who was rambling all over social media about what he was going to do and what he thought was wrong and what was happening in this country. So he took it a step further and went after two cops who had no idea they were being ambushed. One, just 40 years old, just had turned 40. One had just gotten married a couple of months ago. And the city's in shock, and as the nation is, too, because the reaction has been pretty swift to this Saturday massacre. The mayor, Bill de Blasio, was there at St. Patrick's Cathedral on Sunday with his wife. The police commissioner was there. And they came to mourn the two officers that were killed in the ambush in Brooklyn on Saturday to pray for their families. There was a big announcement about that. There were cops lined up four deep, about a mile long, it looked like to me, but pretty big anyway, when their bodies were being taken out of the hospital. Everybody was saluting. So you can only imagine what these funerals will be like, but why should we be burying these two men who were doing nothing other than taking a break on the job, sitting in a car? They just happened to be in the wrong place. It is a nightmare of unbelievably high, the highest you can ever think magnitude-wise for everybody in that city. How tough is this for the largest police union in the country, as they had to notify family, have been talking about it, and say that this price is just way too high. Way too high. And then ultimately, the man who decides he's going to end their lives in retaliation, is what he's saying, for the deaths of Michael Brown and Eric Garner, he decides he's going to randomly kill these officers, and then he was found dead near a subway station. So where the officers went down, there's naturally, it's a thing we do in this country, there's flowers and stuffed animals and, you know, all these things that are left outside on the streets. Officer Weehan Liu was just 32. Rafael Ramos was 40 years old. I mentioned that. And throughout the city and throughout the nation, people were talking about it. Terrible, terrible thing. Just a few months ago, somebody, one of them, Lou, getting married. And here now, his wife becomes a widow and has to bury him in the next couple of days. And the question of how can this be, what drives somebody to do this, is the question we're asking ourselves again. How can this be? How are we talking about this again, yet again? And they're issuing strong warnings across the country for all police officers to be on the lookout. But when you're doing your job and when you're looking around and you're taking breaks and you're doing what you're supposed to do, you're sitting in the car, are you thinking that this is going to happen? Of course you're not thinking that. I think the saddest thing, and I've mentioned this before in a previous hour, is the 13-year-old son of Ramos saying he couldn't comprehend what had happened to his father. He could not believe what had happened. Coming up on America Tonight, looking ahead to resolutions, Dr. Frieda Birnbaum to talk about resolutions and stress and all that kind of stuff. And a look back, Ferguson, Missouri, huge story in 2014. Justin Duckham was there. We'll chat with him as we did before. Stay with us. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment moment basis, but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
On the average, Americans work between 45 to 50 years, hoping to build up enough wealth to retire and live out their golden years. Unfortunately, with taxation, the rising cost of food, energy, housing, and medical, many retirees are forced to live below the poverty line. Is this a flaw-free enterprise, or is our monetary unit, we call the Federal Reserve Note, forcing us into perpetual debt, ensuring inflation and higher taxes? These questions and more can be answered by reading G. Edward Griffin's book, The Creature from Jekyll Island. Congressman Ron Paul states, it's what every American needs to know about central bank power. A gripping adventure into the secret world of international banking cartel. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I will give a silver dollar from the early 1900s to anyone who purchases this book. Call 1-800-686-2237 and order a copy today. It's critical that the public be made aware of the system. Call and order your copy today at 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
The experts at Web.com want to build your business a successful website for free, just like we did for these current Web.com customers.
We've used and looked at other website designers, but there's nobody better than Web.com.
Web.com can build your website in as little as 7 days free. Plus, we'll promote it on all the major search engines like Google, Yahoo, and Bing. If after 30 days you're happy, we'll continue to provide promotion, hosting, support, and maintenance, all for one low monthly fee. If not, cancel and pay nothing.
If you're in business today and you don't have a web presence, you won't be taken seriously.
Call right now and you'll also get a free .com or .net domain name for your new website powered by VeriSign, the world's leading domain name provider.
Call 800-297-0154. That's 800-297-0154.
No upfront charge for site build, after which ongoing fees apply. Rights to site are relinquished when canceled. Domain included during active service, after which fees apply.
That's 800-297-0154.
So out in those nooks and crannies across America listening to us right now, how about it? Are you sitting there trying to think of resolutions? Because you know everybody's going to ask, you're going to go to a party, what's your resolution? Do you have a bunch of resolutions? How often have you kept those resolutions? I have rarely, even very successful, accountable, organized people I know, I very rarely met people that kept the resolutions that they mentioned on New Year's Eve. So we thought it'd be fun to have Dr. Frieda Birnbaum on. She's a research psychologist, psychoanalyst, and the author of What Price Power? An In-Depth Study of the Professional Woman in a Relationship. So how about that? Boy, we could talk about that for hours too, isn't it true? So resolutions, Doc, why? What is it about the whole resolution thing that we don't keep them?
Well, you know, failure is such a big fear that when we look at something as a whole, it becomes invasive. We're used to having a certain way of structuring our lifestyles. When we try something new, even if it's good for us, we're so familiar with the comforts of the way we set our lives up. Not that it's good for us, but we're just familiar with it, that we work against ourselves. You know, when you do something, you have to do it in increments. You have to give yourself one day at a time, 15 minutes, 20 minutes, or whatever it is that you're doing new, not to encompass the whole situation that this has to be done. I'm going to lose 20 pounds. I'm going to go back to school and get my degree. I'm going to have a new relationship and get married or get a divorce. Everything is in increments. When you take baby steps, and you spend some time every day, there's a sense of satisfaction that you get that you've started it. And it's less encumbering. It's less of a heavy weight on you that I have to. And that's why we put things off. Because even the word, I have to, says something. It doesn't say you want to or that you're looking forward to it. So even the way you say it makes a difference to how you feel about it.
Mm. So how should we say it? We shouldn't say, I have to. That's great advice.
I'm looking forward to it. I want to. You know, our behavior is what really translates into our feelings. If we are nice to someone, there's a feeling of a sense of well-being.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, even your heart rate changes when you have something good to give to someone. And so that in itself helps you to promote other experiences that are good for you. So thinking and acting gives you the opportunity to make that kind of difference. They're interconnected.
Is there also something about, setting a very clear, concise type of goal that is not ridiculous, that is attainable?
Yes, that's a wonderful question, but the reality is, I can't even say the word, you know, what is attainable? Mm-hmm. If you set a goal that sounds good,
yeah,
but sets you out in a way where it gets in the way of something else, or you really don't want to do it, you'd prefer something else, then it really is not going to be maintained. The only way to maintain it is to give yourself such little time with this new experience or project that it doesn't invade your space. If you have a half an hour and you say to yourself, I'm just going to spend 3 minutes on it, much less than the time that you have, it becomes less threatening. And then maybe you do spend more time. But so what you're telling yourself is very important. It's not going to put me out. I'm going to give myself less time than I actually have to make these changes.
Is there something about to make those changes? I love that. So less time and just focus and all that kind of stuff. Because it's not as threatening to you. Is there such a thing as willpower? Because lately people argue that, oh, I don't believe in willpower. I do believe in willpower. What do you say about that?
You know, even willpower is threatening.
Yep.
Because who has the consistency to have willpower? We have ups and downs. I mean, life and experiences come in waves. Sometimes you're in a good place, sometimes you're highly energized, sometimes you lack motivation. So this willpower is something that is difficult to maintain. But what is easier to maintain is, I think I would like to do this. I think this could be fun. I think I can make some kind of dent. Not a huge difference. Not high expectations. For sure, it'll never work. The only way is, this is something I'm going to do because it can be enjoyable. Once you think that way, then you're looking forward to it. But when you're apprehensive about it, it's just as going to work against you.
Do you find, Doc, and I bet you you do, but let me ask you,
sure,
when people come to your office and you're helping them and they're working through what their issues are and whatnot, is a lot of it that they set themselves up that I was supposed to do this, I had to do this, and then this happened because they have a lot of goals and they're stressed and they're not meeting their goals? Is this a big issue with people?
Absolutely. High expectations get in the way. They really are setting yourself up not to be able to reach those goals. And time after time, people come in and they're resentful that they're not where they want to be.
Mm.
And if they only knew, you know, when I went for my PhD, if I would have known it would have taken me 5 years, forget about it. I wouldn't have done it, to be quite frank with you. But every morning I would get up, and even if I spent 15 minutes, I would feel a sense of accomplishment. The people that come to see me don't know that good enough is fine. Not being on top is fine. Just being in a place of comfort without feeling guilty is where everyone needs to be. There's such stresses out there. There's so many demands in our society. We are pulled in so many directions. And being number one in your life can be very difficult because the people you love often set a precedent over what you should be doing. And that is a problem that being the role model is the best thing you can do for anybody around you. To be able to have something that somebody can learn from is where you need to put your energy. So people are concerned. This is selfish. I don't have time for this. But they're 100% wrong because by doing this, they can help the people around them. Now, your question, because I tend to go in all directions, I just want to make sure I answered your question. Did I, or am I going in
no.
all directions?
No, you answered the question. That was an excellent answer. Because I think that also, too, Doc, you might see this with people
yes.
playing those jumping jacks in their head. Then what are they doing? Are they living in the moment? Are they missing out on life because they're so upset at themselves, disappointed, saying that they're not where they're supposed to be, that they're not enjoying what's around them at the time?
Exactly. Nothing is enough.
Yeah.
So they reach very high. They're disappointed. And instead of taking the moment and saying, look, I can be in a wonderful place with what I have, with what I have to work with, my abilities that I have now, they're always reaching in all directions for more and higher, especially men. Men often have delayed gratification because they often have to do more and make a bigger difference. So they're never able to say, you know what, I've reached a place that's a very good place to be in. Women are really catching up to that in a bad way, because we as a whole have reached high-status careers. We're in politics. We have a strong voice. But then the stresses of accomplishments get in the way, so we can do more. But then when you look at what you do have, and you can go ahead and work within that frame of mind, then you can really expand what you have, where you are, rather than always looking for something different and new.
I love it. What a perfect way to end this. Dr. Frieda Birnbaum, thanks so much for coming on. Pick up her book, What Price Power, An In-Depth Study of the Professional Woman in a Relationship.
Oh,
thank you.
Fun to talk to you.
It's fun to talk to you, too, as well.
Thanks
thank
so
you.
Much. Be well.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
What good is a Big Berkey water filter?
We get that question a lot here at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. And in a word, the answer is protection. Protection from water main breaks, E. coli contamination, environmental chemical spills, pesticide runoff, chlorine taste and smell, and all forms of fluoride. Plus, Big Berkey water filters are the original gravity water filter system and most trusted on the market for a reason. Tested by multiple independent NSF EPA certified labs, they are the gold standard in water purification. At only 1.7 cents a gallon, a single set of filters can last for 5 to 10 years. That means big savings. Big Berkey, the one that's powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. Get a Big Berkey today at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. GCN listeners receive 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Visit our website or call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey Water Filters, for the love of clean water.
The nation's largest independently owned and operated talk radio network. The Genesis Communications Network. GCN.
Time waits for no one. That's why you should hurry to not miss the Freeze Dry Guy's end-of-year case-lot sale. Go to freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663 to receive 20 to 25% off Mountain House freeze-dried foods. Mountain House, the gold standard in long-term storage products, include real freeze-dried meats, entrees, eggs, fruits, and vegetables. Yes, 20 to 25% off now. Also receive 30% off other selected Mountain House foods and receive 30% off selected Packaway brand dehydrated foods. Just call 866-404-3663 and ask for the Freeze Dry Guy. Plus, long-range patrol ration eggs and ham at superb discounts. But these are extremely hard to find and nearly gone, so call today. Ask about our LRP ice cream bars, too. Some items limited to stock on hand. And remember, the Freeze Dry Guy pays for shipping to your door within the lower 48 states. Order now. Don't miss out on the Freeze Dry Guy's end-of-year case-lot sale. Call 866-404-3663 or visit freezedryguy.com.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-855-905-MYTV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99 and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.
Hi, this is Steve Sanchez, and based on a recent study, it was found that 57 million Americans had legal issues over the last 12 months, but only 60% of those studied sought out the services of a lawyer. Why? In a nutshell, affordability. Well, my friends at LegalShield have created a solution that can help you not if, but when you need an attorney. For as little as $17 per month, LegalShield will provide you unlimited access to qualified attorneys at an accomplished law firm for advice and counsel on legal issues, no matter how serious or trivial. For over 40 years and with 1.4 million families across North America, LegalShield can help you, the loyal GCN listener. Representatives are standing by now to answer your questions, so call them now at 1-855-340-SAVE. That's 1-855-340-7283 or visit them at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com.
Results will vary from case to case.
Welcome to America Tonight. And boy, Justin Duckham joins us right at the top from Talk Radio News. He was in Ferguson, Missouri this past weekend. Justin, first of all, just set the scene for us. What was it like? We heard about tear gas and rubber bullets and all kinds of things. What did you see?
Well, it was a very intense scene, to say the least. And when people are comparing it to a war zone, you know, that's pretty accurate when it gets late at night. From some people who I've, you know, been talking to who had covered legitimate ones and who have covered riots like this, this is something that they have agreed there's never really been anything comparable to it in the U.S. So, yes, I did see SWAT trucks moving in. I was shot at with rubber bullets. Luckily, none of them hit me. And I ultimately was tear gassed on the night of the curfew, which I can assure you was no picnic, to say the least.
Yeah, tear gassed. Describe that feeling.
Well, it's basically a huge burning feeling. My eyes were pretty much out of commission for a good day and a half. You know, I already have pretty bad eyesight, and this just made it worse. Luckily, I was with a slightly more sophisticated and, you know, reporter who had been around the block a few times who had covered situations like these, and he gave me some advice right before the tear gas canisters fell. He told me to put on a gas mask if I have one. Unfortunately, I did not plan that far ahead. And then he advised me to cover up my mouth and my nose with whatever I could get my hands on. I had a black plastic trash bag in my back pocket, so I was able to use that to cover my mouth and nose. So my eyes burnt immediately. My face felt like it was on fire. I immediately kind of hightailed it out of there and then sought shelter behind a building. But some people who I was next to had it a lot worse than me because they're a little bit closer and didn't have as much of a heads up as I did. And they were, puking violently. And one kind of visual I probably won't be forgetting for a while is one of them screaming, dropping to his knees, and splashing his eyes with stagnant, muddy water and utter desperation.
Wow. Oh, that's awful. So were there a lot of people in the midst of this right before you got tear gassed? Were you surrounded by all kinds of different people?
Well, the situation when I was in, it was Friday night, and we all honestly did not believe there was going to be a gassing that night, solely because it was only probably about 40 to 50 people tops. These were largely peaceful demonstrators. Nobody had done anything violent until the tear gas fell. But according to Captain Ron Johnson, the captain of the Missouri State Highway Patrol, he explained to us that apparently just yards away from us there were gunmen in a restaurant, a boarded-up barbecue joint that had taken it over and were also on the roof that we were unaware of. So they said that they were not planning on using tear gas initially to break the curfew, but they needed to do so in order to get us away so they could perform a SWAT operation on that restaurant. But, at the time, none of us knew that, so we just kind of took it as a typical sign of an over, heavy-handed police force. And, it was a sensation that I hopefully will not experience again anytime soon.
Wow. Sorry that happened to you. Can't believe it. So as far as other conversations you had with people, what was the feeling that you came away with?
Pretty much that these are people who are absolutely outraged at what happened. The anger is absolutely palpable. There's a feeling that they've been ignored for quite some time. And I even spoke to some of the more radical and more violent people. And essentially, these are kids who, come from pretty bad situations as it is. The death of a teenager and the apparent justification from the police force has just kind of made that all the more apparent to them. And they are operating in the sense that they have really nothing else to lose. The night when we were gassed, shortly after the gas fell, we turned around the corner and we saw about three of these, real young kids, like a young, just black kids, taking off their shirts, lying down on the ground in front of a gas and yelling that they were ready to die. Whether or not they were really ready to die, I can't say, but it was, certainly an indication that they feel like they have nothing else to lose and they're not afraid of the notion of arrest since, that's been something that's been drilled into them for quite some time.
Yeah, and you were there Friday, too, as you said, over the weekend, and that's when they released the name of the officer. Did you think that got the crowd more excitable or more frustrated by what was happening there?
When they released the name of the officer, I expected that to be sort of the new rallying cry. But honestly, I hardly heard his name the entire time I was there. What really irked people on Friday night and really turned the scene from, being a scene of celebration where people were sort of riding up and down this 0.3-mile strip, hanging out of cars, cheering, chanting, singing, was the revelation of the security camera footage from the market wherein Michael Brown was accused of, strong-arm stealing a couple of cheap cigars. That was something that they felt absolutely outraged by. They had already been in days of just nonstop stress and anger. What happened after that was basically just kind of a sense of paranoia. And basically, I'm not criticizing for it. I understand it. But I heard from people who seemed otherwise level-headed just bizarre theories about how they figured that this footage must have been doctored. People were saying they understood technology. They know that you can make a picture look like anything. And they were just pretty much demonstrating that they were not really ready to believe anything that the police said. And then when it came out that the officer who stopped Michael Brown did not know that it was that he was a robbery suspect, that just made the situation worse. And I think ultimately led to the violence that we saw break out in the early mornings of Saturday.
Is this so, Justin? Is your feeling that this is going to continue, or who knows? By what you saw on the ground.
We know there are some people on the ground right now who are trying to push for a ceasefire. I think right now, unless if there are some serious changes, I think that we're going to see more nights like this. There are some very radical actors, and it's showed that you don't really need that many people in order to generate a heavy police response. The night I was out there, there was 40 people tops. That generated the entire sort of tear gas, you know, assault weapons, beanbag guns and all that stuff. And that was just for 40 people. So just a number of bad actors or just a number of peaceful protesters somewhere where they're not supposed to be can, you know, generate fireworks. And then, unless that changes, I don't think we're going to see any shift over there.
Wow. Justin Duckham out of Washington, D.C., thanks so much as always.
Thank you.
Ferguson, Missouri, Michael Brown, the unarmed black teenager who was shot and killed on August 9th, ignited a conversation worldwide, and we saw what happened in Ferguson. The officer, Darren Wilson, who was a part of that whole grand jury, whether there or not it was enough evidence or not, then it was announced that the grand jury decided not to indict Wilson after months of looking at the evidence. And in fact, one of the things that was interesting that came out of the grand jury was the fact that some of the witnesses recanted what they say they saw, because forensic evidence showed clearly that they were not telling the same story. So then they recanted it, and this made a big impact, I think, on what the grand jury decided to do. And the killing of Michael Brown is something that is still part of the protest we're seeing, not just in Ferguson, but outside of Ferguson. After the announcement there was no indictment, there was violence that erupted where you had the business area, many of the restaurants and stores were looted and destroyed, sadly. So the people that live there, there's even a great story about a woman who had a bakery that was just completely destroyed. And what happened was that I think people felt so awful for this woman who owned the bakery, knowing that this was it, this was her livelihood. She ended up having people donate so much money, it was over $200,000, and she could open the bakery back up. But the story of Ferguson will continue into 2015. You can count on that for sure. The grand jury that decided not to indict Wilson in connection with the shooting of Michael Brown was made up of 9 whites and 3 blacks, and they had been meeting to consider evidence in the case since August 20th. August 20th. There still is a task force that is investigating, a Department of Justice task force, into what happened there. And the county prosecutor released forensic reports, which I said were pretty telling, photographs of evidence and transcripts of what happened there, materials that are a lot of times kept secret. But the decision not to indict the former officer Wilson, because he resigned, set off a wave of massive anger among the people who had gathered outside of the Ferguson Police Department. And that night, that very night where it grew worse, as I mentioned, some of the fires and the flipping of police cars and that kind of thing, buildings were set on fire, looting was reported. But what happened in Ferguson and the tale of Ferguson is not done at this point. It is not over. And I think for Wilson, the reason that he decided that he was not going to go back on the job, that he was going to resign, is because he genuinely was concerned for fellow officers and for himself. If he was going to stay there, it didn't make any sense because of threats and other things that had happened. So it was interesting because the grand jury, a lot of times the grand jury, they meet and they meet and they meet, but for that many months, they met for such a long time. And I think part of that is because a grand jury usually hears testimony from a few people. A lot of times police investigators who have interviewed witnesses and looked at the physical evidence. But in this case, in Officer Wilson's case, there were 60 witnesses that were called. So the grand jury heard extensive testimony from investigators who showed the pictures of the scene that I mentioned, described it in detail. Officer Wilson himself testified for 4 hours and, again, was not indicted for that. So certainly there were a lot of contributions to the racial tension in Ferguson, and it all started with Michael Brown's death back in August. Stay with us. What happened this week in the NFL? Did anybody nail the score? Find out on the flip side.
The knowledge of the ancients, tried and true, trusted herbs and extracts, fused with the latest nutraceutical science. Introducing the all-new Ancient Defense Herbal Immunity Blend, crafted with over 14 key ancient herbs and extracts to supercharge and prepare your body for what experts admit is the most dangerous season of the year. We have rejected hundreds of other formulations in our quest to bring you what is simply the most powerful and comprehensive proprietary formula that we have ever created in the realm of herbal immunity. For the last 2 years, our team has been working with top doctors, nutritionists, and chemists to develop the ultimate nutraceutical formulation. Experience the benefits of combining over 14 ancient herbs and extracts with exciting new advances in nutraceutical science. Now is the time to secure Ancient Defense for you and your family. Visit AncientDefense.com or call 888-253-3139. That's AncientDefense.com.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right. General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for $35,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet for $35,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait. So call 866-91-STEEL. Lock in your price now. Call 866-91-STEEL. That's 866-917-8335.
Yes, family and friends are gathering to give gifts and wish health and security. But why not enhance telephone and wireless device security all year with Block It Pocket? A family-owned American business, we now have two spectacular holiday specials. Find them now at our new website, blockitpocket.com, or call 888-315-9618. Hurry, holiday special ends Christmas Day. Give the gift of security from blockitpocket.com, wishing you health, freedom, and liberty.
I lost 18 pounds in just 4 days. Hi, I'm James Zetta. If you're like me, you've already tried and failed at many diet and weight loss plans. The 18 and 4 weight loss plan requires no exercising, no diet pills or additives, no laxatives, no meal replacements, and no diet drinks. The 18 and 4 program is crystal clear with a day-to-day, step-by-step, and meal-to-meal guide. If you're not satisfied with your results, I will give you my 30-day full money-back guarantee. Go to 18and4.com. That's the number 18, I-N, the number 4.com.
Second and 11, Romo looks right. Looks middle. Oh, he's got Whitney. At the five, touchdown to the big man. Merry Christmas and have a seat. Four for Romo. 25 to Captain Whitney. Oh, the stockings are overrunning and the eggnog is spilling out onto the kitchen floor.
Jeff Block stands about 3 yards away.
They roll it back.
Formation, tight end right, two receivers left. He'll hand it to Freeman, and Devontae steps out. Far side, 15, 10, 5, touchdown Atlanta. Devontae Freeman's first career rushing score is a 31-yard run to the house at the Superdome.
Two receivers right, one left. They roll the two safeties back. Manning back to the rough. At nine.
Default down the middle, wide open on Del Beckham Jr. Catches it.
Turn hand to Lynch. He stutter step. Breaks to the line. Makes the man miss. Cuts back outside right 30. 35, 40. Down the north sideline. Pushes the defender. Keeps fighting. He's still moving. He's going to go. Down to the 20. The 15. They're chasing at 10. He dives in. Are you kidding me?
What?
Harris in motion to the right. Keenum with the toss to Arian, running to the right side. Arian throws it to the end zone. Caught! Razzle-dazzle! Touchdown, Texas! Fedorowicz with the TD reception!
Boy, he sold it. Arian Foster sold it, made it look like he was actually rerouted, was going to be dropped for a loss.
Yeah, it was kind of that weak end for a lot of teams. Not for the Dallas Cowboys, though, as they just dumped all over the Colts. It looked like it was going to be a shutout, 42-7, the final. And the Cowboys clinched the NFC East title. That was our nail-the-score game. Nobody correctly nailed the score. Not one person came close to 42-7 in favor of the Cowboys. Tony Romo passed Troy Aikman for the most passing yards in Cowboy history. Some people are talking about MVP and actually discussing the Super Bowl and the Cowboys in the same breath. Matt, it was another crazy, crazy week in the NFL with some strange finishes, wasn't it?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, my Vikings provided one of the blunders of the day, I guess, with that safety to end the game. And then you had... Man, I couldn't believe the Colts getting blown out by the Cowboys like
I
that.
I couldn't either.
That was crazy. At home, too.
I would have. I mean, even if the Cowboys were going to win that game, which they could have won, which they did, I would never have predicted that blowout. So what does that say about the Colts? There's some weaknesses.
Yeah, definitely. And then, I mean, the Cardinals, I feel so bad for them because they had a solid team, and then now they're down to their third-string quarterback, and he's clearly no good. And, I mean, they need to do something. I don't know if people were joking about calling Brett Favre or Kurt Warner, but, I mean, they'd honestly probably have a better chance at winning the game than the guys they're throwing out right now.
Yeah, absolutely. And then the Redskins, I mean, this happened on Saturday, the Redskins beat the Philadelphia Eagles 27-24, which set up for the clinch for the Cowboys, especially after the Cowboys had beaten the Eagles. So this is it, put a fork in the Philadelphia Eagles. And how about the Redskins coming back? I mean, because they're a lousy now, 4-11, 3-4 at home. They've had nothing but problems and controversy over their name and RG3 and everything else is going to happen in the future. But that still is a good win for the Redskins. Good way to finish off with the last couple of games and pick up another win.
There's another team that needs a quarterback. It's your team.
Oh. No kidding.
Remember, I mean, we're big talking Sanchez after what was that, the Thanksgiving game that he played in?
Yeah,
so much anymore.
No, I agree.
I don't think he'll find all of his fans at the cheesesteak stands this time.
Yeah, he's not going to find any fans. I mean, the interception with 1:31 on the clock, 13th turnover in 7 games. Yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, the Eagles... They needed Indianapolis to beat the Cowboys. That didn't happen, so Dallas eliminated Philly, and they should have after that horrific performance by Philadelphia. And you mentioned the crazy end of the Minnesota game where Miami wins 35. But there was also another game I thought that had such a bizarre finish to it. How about San Diego in overtime beating San Francisco 38-35? What happened to San Francisco this year? They were a team that didn't have a rudder half the time. 7-8, 3-4 at home with 1 week left to go. And the Chargers pick up their 9th win, and they've had a strange season, too.
Yeah, and I actually quit watching a lot of that game because it was a blowout at halftime, and then the Chargers just crept back into it. But, I mean, you got to wonder this whole Jim Harbaugh thing is definitely just... you know, decimating that team because they're not a bad football team and they are just losing games out of nowhere and it's all because of this distraction.
Yeah, so he's got there's a constant swirl around him about his future. I mean, of course, Michigan made him a 6-year offer to coach the Wolverines. 6-year offer. So he's saying that there's still plenty to play for,
$8 million
blah, blah, blah.
A year.
Yeah, he's. I can't imagine he's not going to take that. I think he's going to take that. So you're right. He's become just a walking distraction for them. Absolutely. And you know they've had problems with injuries, but so have the other teams, and so has San Diego. They've had problems with injuries too. So a big win for San Diego and another brutal loss for the 49ers. You know, the distraction obviously. And this was in Santa Clara where this was played. So, you know, Philip Rivers, 21-point deficit. You said it looked like a blowout game at halftime, and here they rear back. You know, their season was on the line, and they come all the way back. And then Nick Novak nails a 40-yard field goal about 5 minutes into the OT, and then that was it. Another Saturday night game. But we have one more week, Matt. Do you believe it? One more week left in the NFL.
That's crazy.
Before the playoffs.
Then it's playoff time.
Then it's playoff time. That's true. And then in the Monday night game, too, is Denver and Cincinnati. And the Broncos, you know, everybody's talking about the Broncos and what happens next for the Broncos because of last year and how humiliating the loss to the 49ers, not the 49ers, the Seahawks, the way they got thrashed in the Super Bowl. And Peyton Manning pretty much has had a really good season again, and he's 8-0 against the Bengals. I can't imagine that they're going to have problems with them, and I think they pick up another one. That would be 12. They're already in the postseason, but a first-round bye, home field advantage, that's pretty big for the Broncos. If they clinch, you know, then they can clinch with the bye and the win and all that, and that would make a huge difference in the seeding. And the last week in the NFL, a lot of that comes down to, especially for teams that might already be in, as to whether or not they're going to get a bye, are they going to have home field, or what's going to happen there. So this is a big one for the Broncos, a huge game for the Broncos for sure. You know, it's interesting when you look at the teams and heading into the season, Matt, who is the biggest disappointment of them all? And I think a lot of Jets fans are still in shock. New England beat them barely, 17-16, but the Jets are horrible. I would have to think that Rex Ryan can't be long for that world at 3-12.
I'd also say, though, I mean, the Saints, the Giants. I mean, you have some teams that thought they were playoff teams going into the season, and they're just completely out of it.
Yeah, I'd say the Saints, that's a good one to pick, and they got throttled by Atlanta 30-14, and it's just that's just a capper.
They were in first place at the beginning of the day, and now they're eliminated from the playoffs.
Yeah, 6-9. Yeah, it's crazy. And I agree with you. I'd say they would be one of the teams everybody was talking about, and they look terrible too. And the Giants beat St. Louis, but they've had an awful season. Tom Coughlin, I would say, has a better chance to retain his job at 6-9 for his lousy Giant team, though, than Rex Ryan with the New York Jets. Once again, great job, Matt. Thanks for the highlights. And thanks to all of you for listening to this Hour of America tonight.
Relatives and friends that are convinced there is no need ever to prepare for any kind of emergency? Are these also folks you buy Christmas presents for? At 30dayfoodsupply.com, we can solve both of these problems at the same time. Go to 30dayfoodsupply.com or call 541-229-0010. We can ship your Christmas presents directly to them. Choose from our original $99 30-day food supply, our long-term storage vegan burger mixes, and other oatmeal, soups, porridges, beans, and granolas for everyday use. All products are non-GMO, MSG-free, and vegetarian. Most are gluten, soy, and nut-free. Call 541-229-0010 today. Oregon Trail Foods and 30dayfoodsupply.com keep prices low, cutting out the middleman by buying directly from their producers in Oregon. Remember, only $10 ships your entire order to the lower 48. Visit the website 30dayfoodsupply.com. Call 541-229-0010. 30dayfoodsupply.com, 541-229-0010.